keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high.
There's always gonna be another girl.
Always
gonna wanna make it more. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to move. Think about how fast I get there. And I'm always waiting on the other side.
All right, how many is ready to continue to break new ground in your life today? Are you ready? Come on, are you ready to break new ground? Say, I'm ready to break new ground. We know when we're breaking new ground that it is a climb. We're trying to get there. If we're going to break new ground, we got to climb ahead of us. We've been spending the last few weeks talking about our spiritual authority. Many of you walked in today carrying umbrellas, trying to stay out of the rain. Or someone helped you out of your car carrying an umbrella, and you had to step under that umbrella to protect yourself, right, from the elements that were out there. The same principle we're saying along the lines is we've got to step under God's authority in my life if I want to step over the things God's placed under me. We see the scripture is full of things that you and I walk in spiritual authority, that He's placed many things under our authority. But only I step over those things when I step under God's authority for my life. When I step out from under God's authority, I also step out from over authority, the things God has destined that I rule over. And so we're learning to rule our flesh, that we must put our flesh under subjection to the Holy Spirit in our life. That if we rebuke the devil and he doesn't flee from us, then maybe it's not a devil problem. Because Scripture is very clear for a Christian that we must, what? We rebuke the devil and he might? No, it says he will flee from us. And so if I'm rebuking the devil and he's not fleeing from me, maybe it's not the devil that's giving me the problem. Maybe it's my own flesh. And it's easy to blame everything on the devil, isn't it? Oh, the devil made me do it. I mean, we've been doing the same song and dance since the time we were kids. My kids are always, it's not my fault. He made me do it. It's always somebody else's fault. Why did you hit your brother? My other brother made me do it. I mean, we're always trying to blame somebody else. And spiritually, I think we do the same thing. You know, the devil made me. I'm trying, Pastor, to change. And I know I need to do good. But the devil's so bad. The devil made me do it. And we're like, isn't that special? You know, we really believe the devil is making us do everything. But really, what we have a problem, if we just can be honest, look ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm just battling my flesh. That my flesh is still battling. Because we've been talking about the last few weeks that my flesh is not going to be redeemed until I get to heaven. My soul is in the process of being redeemed. I'm transformed. I'm becoming like the image of Christ constantly, and I will constantly be changing. My soul is being redeemed now. My spirit's redeemed to salvation. But the flesh is what's giving me problems. The flesh is why I struggle with many things in my life. It's because I haven't learned to put my flesh under subjection, getting control of my flesh. Because my flesh will always be selfish. My flesh will always do what it wants to do. It'll always take me to things that lead me to prideful. It'll always take me to things that are selfish. It doesn't think about the consequences. It doesn't think about the people I'm hurting. It doesn't think about the things I'm not doing. It thinks about, give me what I want right now, abandoning the things I know to do right. And so I've got to learn to put my flesh under subjection. He says we're called to be what kind of sacrifice? A living sacrifice. That you and I are called to be a living sacrifice. So does it make sense to you that we learn to be a living sacrifice by putting my flesh under subjection to what the Holy Spirit wants? I've got to crucify my flesh. My flesh wants to do its own thing. But God has given me the power to crucify my flesh, to put it under subjection to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now, today we're going to talk about, I'm ready to leave. Are you ready to leave? I'm leaving. Turn to somebody and say, I'm leaving. It's time to leave. Come on, now turn to somebody and say it with conviction. It's time to leave. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm leaving. on a midnight train to Georgia. Okay, we're going somewhere, at least. We're going to leave and go somewhere. Now, the question is this. When you're going to leave somewhere, how many know you got to climb? If you're going to get out of the valley you're in, you got to get out and you got to climb to where God's taking you. If you want to leave the dimension you're in now, I've got to climb to a higher dimension. So if you're ever going to break new ground in your life, you're going to start by saying, I'm ready to leave the place I'm at, and I want to take hold of the thing that's ahead. I must leave the place I'm at and take hold of the things God is placing ahead of my life. And so it's going to take a climb. It's going to take leaving where I'm at. It's going to take leaving my flesh and say, I'm pursuing the things the Holy Spirit want me to pursue. Today we're going to be talking about Abraham. And how many remember singing that song when you was a kid, Father Abraham? Anybody else sing that song when you was a kid? Those of you who were raised in church, you know what I'm talking about. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so who? So are you? All right, you know the song. All right, let's don't sing the whole thing. It gets long. I can tell you. But we got to realize that we are, according to Scripture, what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 6 says, we are all sons and daughters of Abraham. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. I believe that he was just talking about the Jews. The Jews, according to Scripture, he was the father of the Jews. No, Scripture is very clear. It says he was father of us all, the Gentile and the Jew. And so today we realize that we can live under the covenant of Abraham that God has given Abraham. We can look at his life and see so much and learn what God is wanting to do in our life. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in verses 1 through 3. And he was giving him a promise, and he's also giving him a command. Let's pick it up. Now the Lord God said to Abram, remember? He was Abram before God changed his name to Abraham. And when he spoke to him, he said, get out of your country. Everybody said, get out of your country. It's important to realize that get out of your country. He's like, get out of your family and get out of your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We see a promise here that Abraham was given, that God wants to make us a great nation. Do you realize God wants to make you a great nation? He wants to make his church a great nation. That he's called us to be a great nation. And that you and I are called to walk as a great nation. He has got a promise. He wants to make you great. He wants to make your name great. He wants to make his church name great. Do you realize that? Well, I don't believe God wants us to be a great nation. I believe he wants us to stay small all of our life, and we can just be a witness. The Lord's willing, hallelujah. He wants to make us a great nation. This is the promise he wants to his church, that he would make us great. And he said, I will make your name great. So often we see in society that the church's name is not great. You know why? Because we go around cursing the things that he's called blessed. I mean, we just read the scripture. He said, don't curse what I've called blessed. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And let me just tell you this, that I don't care where you come from, what church background you have. Everybody's got something, a story. And if you come from a church that maybe hurt you, I'm saying you're welcome here, man. We love to have you. Maybe you're coming out of a situation that's hard. You're welcome here. We love to have you. But one thing that we always ask, and we try to keep it in the DNA of who we are, is we're not going to allow ourselves to talk bad about any church in town. How many think that's a good thing? Yeah? Now, if you don't agree, with another church, then you have that right to go out and be under leadership that you agree with and to follow pastors that you can follow. I understand that no one's saying you can't leave and switch leadership and be under somewhere where you can grow, because sometimes you just stop growing where you're at and things happen. I understand that. But one of the things that we want to make sure we do is that we don't curse what God's called blessed. And Pastor, I don't know if that church is blessed. Well, you don't be the judge. You let God judge them. And we'll just say, God, we're going to bless your church. He says, I'm going to bless those who bless you. He's talking about the church. He's talking about his church. He's going to bless those who bless you. So you want to be a blessing? you would get blessed. See, what you got to realize is that when we take up our tithe and offering, we're doing a favor. I'm doing you a favor by giving you an opportunity to be blessed. When I ask you to serve, I'm giving you an opportunity to be blessed. We ask you to give your time to serve God and to serve the body of Christ. That's because you're blessing the church. And God says, I will bless those who bless the church. I will bless those who bless thee. And if you curse the church, he says, I'm going to curse you. And so we don't want to curse any church. We want to be a blessing to churches. We have that in our DNA. We have blessed many churches. Some you know about and some you don't know about. Our finance committee has gone out of our way many times to be a blessing to other churches when God's laid it on our heart. Why? Because we want in the DNA of who we are to be people who are going to bless God's church. And if you don't want, let me just give you a secret. If you don't know this already, let me tell you, it's not all about us. We're not the only good church in town. We're not the only good thing happening. As prejudiced as we are, we love our church and we love what God's doing. We're going to bless. We're going to bless others. We're going to be a blessing to church. That's a good thing right there. All right. Because why? Because we want his name to be great. See, if the church will quit talking about each other and quit fighting against each other, no wonder the world thinks we're not great. Why would you want to be a part of something that fights in itself? Why would I want to join that church? They're fighting with this church over here and they can't even get it together. No, we're a place where you can be accepted for who you are and God can change you and we're going to love you and let God redeem you. And man, we're going to pray for you and help you. And if a church is struggling, we're praying for them. If God's blessing them, we're going to rejoice with them. We have some churches that are just booming, man. And we're not jealous. We're not competing with them. We're blessing them. We say, God bless them. Are they doing it the way we maybe do it? Let's make a difference or not. We're still blessing them because we want God to bless us. Why? So that we can be blessed, all the families on the earth. But he gives prerequisites. He says there's three things you got to do if you're going to walk in this blessing that he's talking about, becoming a great nation, becoming a great church, becoming your name, have a reputation of being great and being a blessing to all the families of the earth. There's three things you got to learn to do. First of all, you got to come out from your country. That's what he says. Come out from your country. Come out from your country. Every culture has distinct things that identify it. Isn't that true? I mean, you hear Latino music going on, man. You know what's going on over there. Man, they're having a fiesta over there. And I want to be there. Someone invite me. Hallelujah. I mean, can I get a witness in the house? So you know what I'm talking about, man. We hear the music, and I can just hear that music and know what's happening over there. Come on, Oscar, give me an amen for that, amen? Now, I can hear different kinds of other music. I can hear bluegrass, and I don't even have to look and see who's over there. I already know who's attending that thing. I already know who's over there listening to bluegrass. I can pretty much tell you who's going to be there. You're probably not going to find me there, just so you know. But I can pretty much tell you who's there. I mean, we can listen to a certain kind of music and know just already we identify ourselves. You know, we can listen to things, and society tells us, you know, already that if you are this race, then you're going to accomplish this. This race is good at this. Latinos are really hard workers. They'll outwork you any day. If you're black here, you're going to be a great athlete, right? But just automatically, we know Carlos is going to outrun anybody else in the room. Right, Carlos? You still got it. He's been dropping some weight now. He's getting back to his running speed, back at track days at Southern. Come on. Anybody want to give Carlos a race this morning? I put my money on him. Even in dress shoes, he's still going to outrun you. Okay? Some stereotypes go pretty fast. Man, everybody knows white man can't jump. But we just know that already, right? I'm being comical because I know that we all know that there are stereotypes put on us by our race automatically. You're going to be good at this. You're not going to be good at this. He says you got to leave your country. He says you got to take off the barriers that society is putting on you and realize you can do anything because your dad's the king. There are no barriers. You got to leave your country and say, you know what? I'm not going to be held back to what a nation says I've got to be. But I'm free to be anything God wants me to be. He says, come out from your family. You must realize that we're not held to societies. We're also not held to our family. When we're born today, we're all born under what the people say is a certain social class. Isn't that true? I mean, I'm going to switch the mics here if you don't mind. My voice is getting a little tired. We have certain families that we know that when you're born, that people put you in a class. As soon as you're born, they say, oh, he's born to a middle-class family. Or they were born to an upper-middle-class family. Or they were born to an upper-class family. Or they were born to a lower-class family. And society already is putting limits on us according to what your family. I mean, you haven't done anything yet, and you're already being labeled upper, lower, middle, lower, middle, lower. Come on. Give me a break. And he says, if you want to be walking as the great nation, if you want to walk the people I've called you to, you've got to leave not only your country, what people say about your race, but he said also you got to leave what class your family is. You can't be held back to what you think your family is. Are you educated? You're going to be uneducated. Oh, you'll have an education. You go to college. You won't. You'll amount to this. You won't amount to this because your family is this. Because you got to realize when you cross over into Christ, you must know that you became royalty right away. When we crossed over into Christ, our bloodline changed. And we become king's kids, sons of Christ. My faith and my father, my father owns a cattle on a thousand hill. My father says that all the gold and silver belongs to him, that he created the heavens and the earth, that everything has been created is held in the power of his hand. My father, his class is unrankable because there is no ranking for his class. And my bloodline just changed. I am not limited by what my family is. I'm not limited. He says, come out of your father's house as well. Come out of your father's house. You cannot live under limitations of your generational curses. If you want to walk in God's best, you want to break new ground, you cannot live according to generational curses that have been put on your family. Well, Pastor, I believe people tell me all the time that your dad was an alcoholic, his dad was an alcoholic, so you're just going to struggle with addiction in your life. Your dad was a womanizer. He ran around. His dad ran around. And so you'll never be faithful to any woman in your life. You'll always pick a loser. You'll always marry a loser because your mom married a bunch of losers and her mom married a bunch. So you're always going to just jump around with one boyfriend to the next from loser to loser to loser. Why? Because people have put that on you already. But you have the power in Jesus Christ to know that I can break any generational curse because I've been given a new bloodline. I can make positive decisions that are going to change the generations to come. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Nobody else in my family may choose that, but I'm going to choose to follow the bloodline that I've been given through Jesus Christ. I can break these generational curses. It's nothing about dishonoring my mom and dad, but I'm not bound to what anyone says I can or cannot do. See, you're not limited to the dominion of curses that have followed you around for years. They cannot limit you if you are in Jesus Christ. If you're a son and daughter of the King, those things cannot limit your potential. They cannot stop you from being the great nation that God has wanted to call you to be. You got to realize that, who I am and who God's called me to be. We got to stop letting the news and society tell me what I can and cannot do. Well, you are going to do this, and it's already predicted that you're... No, I'm not. I'm a child of the King. And his news says this, that I am free. His news says I am healed. His news says that I can have anything my Father wants to give me. Listen, we've got to realize that we can break through because of what we've been given in our life, that we're not bound to the people we used to be. My Father says I can do what? All things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. You can do. I can do all things through Christ. Don't you love that scripture doesn't say I can do some things because my family weakens me? I can only do some things because of my last name. I can only do some things because of the class I was born in. I can only do some things because of my race. I can only do some things because of who my father was. No, you can do all things because of who your father is. We have been given a new bloodline, and the curses can be lifted from our life, the barriers can be lifted from our life, and we can walk as a great nation.
He's calling us out. Look, we can back us up according to Scripture, Genesis 3:14. I want to talk to you about this, Genesis 3:14 and 15. Now, we see where because of Satan's temptation in the garden causing Adam and Eve to fall, this is the curse that the Lord gave him. First of all, aren't you glad that God had a plan? Before Adam ever fell, God had a plan of redemption. It didn't take him by surprise. It didn't take him 2,000 years to put a plan into place. He already had a plan when Adam and Eve fell. And so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. And at every beast of the field, on your belly you should go, and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, we realize this, that God had a plan, that he was going to send the seed of the Holy Spirit, was going to put into a Virgin Mary, and he was going to bring forth a redemption plan. His name was Jesus. He already had the plan already worked out. But I love this, that he says this word right here, and I will put hostility. I will put a hostile attitude, the woman and you. Now, I realize something here, that women, you are a lot more spiritually aggressive than men are. Naturally, spiritually aggressive. Men have to really work at becoming spiritually aggressive. We have to work at disciplining our flesh and becoming the leaders God's called us to be. It's a work for us. But one thing I've noticed, that women, you're very naturally spiritually aggressive. You want to know why? Because God's already put in your heart a hostile attitude toward the enemy. Now, what happens if your kids come sick to the dad? What happens? The kid comes sick to dad. Dad's like, you're all right to me. Why don't you take some aspirin and go play? Kid goes to mom. Mom, I'm sick. And the mom's like, in the name of Jesus, cast out every demon out of this child. Sickness can no longer live here. I mean, mom, just take spiritual authority over that thing right away. You know what I'm talking about. You ever notice when dad's leading prayer? All right, it's all leading prayer. Kids bow your heads, and we start praying, and the kids are kind of like goofing off. And dad's like, kids, now, this is really supposed to be a really serious time. I really don't want you to be goofing off. We need to show God more respect than this. Mom leads a prayer, and the kids goof off. It's like, in the name, you better not even think about disrespecting the Lord. Like, I mean, they get all kinds of spiritual aggressive. I mean, moms just have a natural gene in them. They say, yes, he is the great I am. There's no power in hell that's going to hold you back. And I just see this aggression in women that is so much prevalent than men. Men have to work at it. Women seem to be very natural about it. You want to know why? Because God has placed that gene of hostility that, you know what? I am coming out. That this is my enemy, and I am not held to this. My children will not be held to intergenerational curses. My children will not be held back to what God wants to do in your life. We're going to battle, and we're going to do war, and we're going to do whatever it takes to see our children get there and to lead. He plays. Listen, dads, man, we got to get more aggressive like our women, like the moms. Every plan, God starts with a promise. Every plan God has starts with a promise. And then he chooses people to fulfill it. He chooses you and I. Look what he says in Genesis 1:26. And then God said, let us make man in whose image? God said, make man in whose image? Our image. He's talking about God's image. So you and I are made in God's image. He said, after our likeness. And then he says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And all the fishermen said, amen. All right. And over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth. God is making you and I in his image. We are not born. Listen, spiritually, when we're born again, we are being born into the image of God. Set free from the image of our father. Set free from the image of our mother. Set free from the image of anything that's been passed along that's negative in my family. I am born in the new heritage. I am being formed in the image of Christ. I've been created in God's image that I might bear his likeness. He's created you and me to have dominion over things of this world. Galatians 4:1-5 brings all this into fruition right here. Okay, let's look at it here. wraps it all up. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy what? Freedom for us who were slaves to the law. So that he could what? Adopt us as his very own children. He has adopted you and I so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, which simply means Daddy, Daddy, Father. Other words, we see Heavenly Father and we see the spiritual Father, but he's saying we can call him Daddy, Daddy, Father. Now you are no longer a slave. A slave to what? Not only a slave to the law, but we're not a slave to any generational curses. We're not a slave to anything our country says we got to be. We're not a slave to anything our family says we have to be. We're not a slave to anything society says we have to be. And since you are a childless one, now you are no longer a slave, but God's what? Own child. You and I, at salvation, become God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you what? His heir. That should get you excited today. That should change your attitude today, knowing that you are an heir of the King. That means every good thing that God has is for me. I can inherit. I don't have to inherit the bad things. I can let loose of the things that have plagued my family for a long time. I'm starting a new thing today. I got new blood running through my veins here. Not only is it the blood of my Father, but it's the blood of my spiritual Father. I have been adopted into the kingdom of God. I am called sons and daughters of the King. I am an heir. I'm an heir of God, created in his image. So it's time that we walk like it, stand like it, talk like it. Take off the generational curses. Leave aside the things society is trying to label you with. It's time for you to man up and step up. It's time for you ladies to step up with a hostile spirit and say, no longer will the enemy take from my life. No longer will the enemy take from my children. He said, guys, to man up and say, you know what? I'm going to walk worthy of a prince. I'm going to work worthy of my calling. When I do that, I can learn to say my flesh can very easily be put under subjection because I got the spirit of royalty running through my veins, man, and in my heart. God has called you and me. We have the right to claim what the family owns. Isn't that awesome? What am I an heir to? Everything the Word of God says I am right here. Every promise he's given me. Everything that he says I'm going to inherit, I am an heir to it, rightfully so. Philippians 3:20 says it like this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have a passport, and I can travel to different countries. If I get a passport and I travel to Brazil, even though I'm in Brazil, I may be on a boat down the Amazon River. But am I a citizen of Brazil? No, I am a citizen of the United States of America. I can be in Africa with my passport. But it's because I'm in Africa, it doesn't mean I'm a citizen of Africa. I'm still a citizen of the United States of America. Spiritually, he says, I am a citizen in heaven, which simply means this, that even though I'm here on this earth, my citizenship is in heaven. That's where my citizenship belongs, in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I've got to learn to walk like it, talk like it, and stand up and believe that, God, you've got things for me that are better than where I'm at right now. God, you're calling me. I can use my passport to visit other places because I know that I am a citizen of the United States. I know I'm a citizen of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's my daddy. Today, we got to know who we are as we close. We got to realize who we are today. Know who we are in Christ. Realize that, man, God is calling me to break new ground in my life. And if I'm going to go somewhere, I got to realize there are no limits. God has taken away those limits of salvation. You know what's stopping you? You are. You know what's stopping me? I am. We're stopping ourselves because God has removed those barriers. He's removed anything. If we will step out from under it, if we will step out and say, God, I'm stepping out of this curse, I'm stepping out of this tradition, and I'm stepping under your authority for my life. Wow, what an awesome place to be. I'm going to break some new ground in my life. I'm going to inherit things I didn't think I was going to inherit. It's time for me to man up. It's time for me to step up as a woman of God and say, I know who my Father is. I'm going to expect better. I'm going to deserve better. I'm going to act better because I know what God's calling me to do. How many today say, I'm ready to know who I am. I'm ready to walk in my spiritual authority. I'm ready to realize who I am in God. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. As you stand on your feet today, I'm going to invite you to join me in the front, those who would like to. If you would like to say, Pastor Gina, I'm ready to walk in my spiritual authority. I'm ready to say, you know what? I'm leaving behind anything that has put limits on me. I'm stepping out and saying, God, I know who I am in you. God, I know what you called me to be. I'm not going to be a victim of my past. I'm not going to be a victim of anything that's lingered in my family. I'm breaking family curses. I'm breaking generational curses. I'm going to step in and be everything God's called me to be. I'm going to take off the limits that society's put on me. I'm going to take off the limits that people have put on me. I'm going to take off the classes that people's put on me.
Right.
And I believe God's got something better for me and my family and my life. That's you. I want you to step to the front. Step in a little closer, guys. Make room for those coming in. We're going to close this song that simply says, I know who I am. And as we sing it today, I want you to sing it from your heart and say, God, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Let's go.
I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
And you are mine. Jesus, you are mine. You are mine. Jesus, you are mine.
I was running and you found me. I was blinded, and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken, and you healed me. I was dying, and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity. And I know, I know. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. And you are mine. Oh, Lord, you are mine.
Jesus. You are mine, you are mine.
Oh Lord, you are mine.
Jesus, you are mine.
Come on.
I was running
and you found me.
Found me.
I was blinded.
I was blinded.
Hey, and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me.
Oh,
I was broken.
I was broken.
And you healed
and
me.
You healed me.
I was dying.
I was dying.
And you gave me life.
Lord, you are my identity.
Yeah. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know who I am.
Come on, sing it out.
I know.
sing this.
I am forgiven. I am your friend. I am accepted. I know who I am. I am secure. I'm confident that I am loved. I know who I am.
Pick it up, come on.
I am alive. I am set free. I belong to you. You belong to me.
Sing this out. Come on.
I am forgiven.
I am your friend.
I am your friend.
Oh, I am accepted.
I am accepted.
I know who I am.
Know who I am.
Say, I am secure.
I am secure.
And I'm confident.
I'm confident.
That our God loves us. Come on, church.
That I am loved.
I know who I am.
Know who I am.
Come on, church.
I am alive.
Anybody alive?
I am set free.
Hey, anybody set free?
I belong to you. You belong to me. Oh, oh, oh. I know who I am.
Come on, church.
I know who I am.
I know who.
Your hands this morning. Lift your hands where you are. I want to pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lift our hands before you today, saying and signifying that we give our life in total surrender to you, Father, I pray right now that all generational curses be broken in our life. All barriers society's put on us be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Anything that's put on us because of race, because of social class, because of family, God, I pray those things are being washed away in the name of Jesus. God, there's a new hope, a new future. Lord, today I thank you, God, that you are releasing us. Lord, the sky's the limit because our dad is the king. The sky is the limit because our dad is the king. And Father, I thank you. You're setting us free. And we say amen and amen. Listen, today, as you leave, don't forget to stop by and sign up to help bring dinner to our teachers. Help us out today. Fill that list up. God bless you. Have a great week.